Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. 9:05 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
And Beth Habhager.
Good morning.
We got good stuff coming up for you. Some entertainment news around the corner, that ain't right stories, good stories of the day, all of that coming up. But right now, it is time for us to open the kitchen.
All right, we're going to do this impromptu kitchen open session, but first we have some breaking news from our on-site reporter, Beth, who did some excellent searching for us online and found out that something's going on.
Yeah, Misty's Menu is not open this week. They have a Facebook post letting us know that they will be closed December 24th through January 1st for a winter break.
Oh,
they do wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year, and they look forward to seeing us all in 2023. So head over there starting January 2nd. You can go for breakfast January 2nd.
But I'm pretty confident in guaranteeing that if you have a birthday or anniversary this week, they will honor it next week.
They quite possibly, yeah.
I would say that with James is nodding his head over there. I think we're good. All right. So we're going to delve into our kitchen open today impromptu session. We're going to start by focusing on fruitcakes because the history of fruitcakes is actually really fascinating. So as we've alluded to, fruitcakes are the doorstop that gets passed around.
It is.
However, the history of them, they require special handling and baking to actually obtain successful results and not end up with a doorstop.
Yes.
So the name fruitcake can be traced back only as far as the Middle Ages. It was actually formed from a combination of the Latin fructus and French frui or frug. So it's a Latin and French word. And the oldest references, as James mentioned this morning, we were talking about it's fruitcake day, can be dated back to Roman times. And that particular recipe included pomegranate seeds, pine nuts, and raisins mixed into a barley mash, honeys and spices and preserved fruits were added during the Middle Ages. In the 1400s, the British began their love affair with a fruitcake when dried fruits from the Mediterranean first arrived.
Okay.
So this is often actually traditionally was a wedding celebration. Because of it being so expensive, fruit was not easily obtainable in that period of time.
That's right.
Some of these other fruits that they're adding. So it was something that you made for others, not necessarily for yourself, because of how expensive it was.
And what an extravagant gift that would have been for them as well.
Indeed. So some of the more traditional, like now, fruitcake recipes include things like candied pineapple, candied cherries. That's usually the red or green, like really vibrant part in the fruitcake. Pitted dates. This is what helps, one of the things that helps hold it all together. Pecans, and if you toast them first, they add more flavor. Sugar, of course, you got to add sugar. An all-purpose flour, which is the rest of what holds the batter together. Baking powder, salt, vanilla, and large eggs. And then you, this is all mixed together. And oftentimes, let me switch to another recipe here because I found this fascinating too. You can, to bind all of those fruits and nuts together is what makes it so dense. Because you mentioned how dense it was. But when it comes out of the oven, you shower it in whiskey.
Okay.
Because why wouldn't you?
Why not? I imagine that would help preserve it as well.
It does. And the use of dates is really important. You can also add prunes. And really, the candied fruits that you put in there or the other addition of nuts and things is really your own choice.
Right. 'Cause I would imagine raisins would be a good addition as well.
It could be, yep. Either the golden ones or the regular ones. And then you can use almonds, walnuts, pecans, whatever kind of nuts, salted pistachios.
How about dried cranberries?
Dried cranberries would be good. And then the alcohol that you use can also be, you know, up to chef's choice. I don't even know what this is. Armagnac? I don't know what kind of alcohol that is.
I don't either.
Okay. Well, it's an option if you have it.
I would imagine in this area, brandy would be a good option.
Brandy, bourbon, or whiskey. Those are all good options. So once you mix all of the ingredients together, toss it with your, you know, with your hands. You beat the eggs in and then the flour and the sugar, fold in the nuts, and then you divide the mixture between pans, bake it. You bake this for like an hour and a half.
Wow.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
And you want the, you bake it until they look dry, but not brown. And then after you cool it for 5 minutes, you release it from the spring form and peel the parchment paper off. While it's cooling, but while it's still hot, you lightly brush it with corn syrup.
Okay.
So that's another step that's going to help it preserve. And then you spoon whatever alcohol you're using on top. And it's like a whole third of a cup. So it's a decent amount of alcohol that you are dumping on top of this cake. And then once it has cooled completely, then you can do one of two things. You can either wrap it in plastic and preserve it in the fridge for 2 months.
God bless you.
Thank you. Or three, however long you want to store it. Or if you're going to serve it right away, then you sprinkle more of the alcohol on top about an hour before serving so it has time to soak in.
Okay.
And that there is a more up-to-date fruitcake recipe.
All right. Well, and you know, you don't have to make it as a cake itself. I did a little bit of research myself, and there are fruitcake cookies.
Really?
Aren't quite as dense, kind of a little bit more light, but still have that fruity flavor because you can use the same fruit mixture that you can.
Same type of ingredients?
Yes. And in fact, you don't even have to, you can make it even easier. So there are recipes out there. I found one where you make the cake batter yourself. And it's very easy, very simple cake batter, like what you would normally use.
Yeah, flour, eggs,
flour,
sugar,
eggs, butter. Actually, instead of butter, it uses vegetable shortening.
Okay.
It's a little bit more of that rich, creamy texture to it. Salt, baking soda, buttermilk. And then this specific recipe that I found has chopped dates in addition to what they refer to as a fruit peel mix, which you can find on Amazon or in grocery stores, which is that prepackaged, mixed, candied fruits that you would put into a traditional
fruitcake. So like the candied cherries, candied pineapple.
And so you use a typical cookie batter is what you're basically doing. So, you know, the first step is always to cream the shortening and the sugar or the butter and the sugar and then add in your egg. You get all of that put together and then you add in all of your dry mix. So your flour, your baking soda, salt, all of that. And then you mix that together and then you fold in, you know, your nuts, your fruits and things like that so that you don't chop them up anymore.
And one thing that we talked about before is tossing those things with flour first before you incorporate it into the batter because then they don't just sink to the bottom of your cookie.
They'll stay dispersed throughout the cookie. And so you do that. After you fold in the fruit, you throw them in the oven. And my phone is giving me some issues here.
Probably bake them next.
Yeah, you would bake them. And I believe it's at 400. That's what
I'm
trying to...
That's a pretty high temperature.
Yeah.
Because usually cookies are like 350, 375. But I imagine with all of the added chunk ingredients in there, you got to get that heat faster.
Yes. So I'm oh, come on, phone, work with me here.
I'm going to guess it's probably like an 8 to 12 minute bake time.
And you can find this recipe at balancingmotherhood.com. Okay. That's a great place to look. But I also found even simpler, if you don't want to make your own batter, Betty Crocker has a recipe for fruitcake cookies that you use a boxed cake mix for.
Well, that's even easier.
Yeah, it just you just mix that up as
the directions
tell you. Yep, and this calls for a yellow cake mix.
Okay.
And it also adds in the raisins, the dates. This recipe adds a half a cup of brandy.
So this straight into the recipe.
Straight into the recipe.
All right. Well, because it would be, I think, a little harder to soak a cookie in brandy after the fact.
Yeah. So actually, I think you use the brandy to simmer with the fruits.
Okay.
So that you moisten up the fruits a little bit.
There you go.
And then you mix everything else. So again, if you look up fruitcake cookies, you can find a slew of recipes. Food Network has some. Betty Crocker has one. So it might be an interesting,
lighter alternative
to the traditional.
And it's not one that you're going to age because cookies don't age like a cake loaf would.
And the recipe does say you can actually freeze them.
Oh,
so
yes.
So that if you make more than what you're going to eat, you can freeze them. Or these might be great to instead of passing a single fruitcake from person to person to person to person,
yeah.
Give them a dozen cookies.
Give them a dozen cookies.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of freezing cookies, because I love how you just went right into the transition I wanted to go with. My grandma, Ruth, my mom's mom, used to make so many cookies for our Christmas gatherings. Like, mm-hmm. she literally had a dozen ice cream buckets of different kinds of cookies at Christmas time. And we were always astonished. Like, Grandma, how did you manage to do all of this? Mm-hmm. Well, she would make them throughout the year and freeze them.
Yeah.
In you know, buckets with parchment paper. Yep. And as soon as you take them out of the freezer and let them thaw, they're just as good.
Yes.
Like, Grandma was just the queen of being able to do this. And she made so many different kinds of cookies. Some of my favorites were, of course, her chocolate chip cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Molasses cookies.
Yes.
Those are so good. The peanut butter ones. And she didn't do them with the, well, there were two different kind of peanut butter ones.
Right.
There's the ones with the, you know,
the peanut butter blossoms with the
kiss
Hershey
in them.
Yep. Yep.
But then there was just the straight up peanut butter ones that she yep. did the fork.
Yep. The crisscross.
The crisscross yep. on the top. So those were awesome. Of course, the traditional cookie rollout.
Sugar cookie yep, cutouts.
Cutouts yep. with the frosting and the mm-hmm. decorations. She always did that. You know, as the years went by, her decorations got a little less extravagant. The gingerbread men didn't have faces.
Right.
Most of them just had sprinkles on them, but it still tasted good.
Right.
And then she'd do, like, I think I've talked before about the Ritz crackers with the peanut butter in between.
Yes.
And then dipped in almond bark. Mm-hmm. She'd do a dark chocolate one and mm-hmm. then a white chocolate one. But I think my ultimate favorite, and I hope I can find the recipe. I don't know if I'm going to be able to, but she'd make these cookies that had, they were like a little pillow.
Ooh.
And they had a fig filling inside.
Oh,
so they were
yes.
like homemade fig Newtons.
Yum.
With, instead of the Newton or the cookie part being like a fig mm-hmm. Newton, it was more like a white sugar cookie.
Right.
And so they looked like little pies. They were so cute
mm-hmm.
because they'd have like the little cuts on top to vent the steam
okay.
out as the filling was
yeah.
cooking. They were so phenomenal. Grandma's fig cookies.
Love those.
Yes.
Some of my favorites, actually a more recent one when I was in North Dakota, there was a member of my congregation that loved to bake and made date cookies.
Ooh.
So they would use pitted dates and the dough that they would wrap around it and bake, just the flavors together mm-hmm. were phenomenal. And growing up, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and so she would always make six or seven different
yeah.
varieties of cookies around Christmas. And one of them was a recipe that she got from my dad's grandmother. So my great-grandma Cora
okay.
made a chocolate cookie that had a specific chocolate icing with it.
Ooh.
And you would use coffee, brewed coffee,
oh.
as one of the ingredients.
To rather, enhance the
yes,
chocolate
to
flavor.
To enhance the flavor. So you
yeah.
would use that instead of like a milk
mm-hmm.
as your liquid in
okay.
the recipe. And they turned out phenomenal.
Oh, I bet.
So those were always ones that I looked forward to. And of course, you know, we did the peanut butter blossoms mm-hmm. and all of that. And then for my dad's side, and it's one that I've started to make for him. And I actually brought some in for James and Melissa to try. And you mm-hmm. had one earlier,
yes,
Melissa.
Yes, they're delicious.
James still has yet. I don't know if he's just too afraid because they didn't turn out or
oh,
what?
I don't know what you're talking about. They look amazing.
they got baked a little bit, some of them a little bit more than they should have. Were in the oven just like maybe 30 seconds to a minute. But they still turned out. They're still... okay, good. Thank you, James.
I
yes.
think he's enjoying it.
They are cookies that Seth has mentioned mm-hmm. on air before. It's the candy cane cookies.
Yeah. And is that what they're actually called?
They're called candy cane cookies.
Okay.
And it uses... one of the special ingredients is a little bit of peppermint extract. So
okay.
the cookie itself has that little bit
of
a minty... taste
mm-hmm.
to it.
But and I like that it's not overwhelming.
It's not. It is
no,
a very
a
light
subtle.
Cookie.
Mm-hmm.
More like a shortbread
yeah.
than anything. And mm-hmm. part of that is because you separate the batter. You have to, you make the one batter, mm-hmm. but you half it.
Right.
And then you add food coloring to just half of the batter.
So that it's one half is red and then one half is your traditional.
And then you roll them out on a floured surface. So that extra flour makes it more like a shortbread
okay.
than a cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And you do two, you do a ball of the white dough. What mm-hmm. we're referring to a white dough, but it's more of a yellow.
Like kind of a beige-ish.
And then the mm-hmm. red dough, which is more of a pinkish thing.
Yeah.
And you roll both of them out into like a snake kind of thing. And mm-hmm. then you wrap them, twirl them together so that yeah. they look like a candy cane. And you put the little arch in it and you bake, they bake in together
yeah.
as to one cookie. And so this is one that he grew up with and it's been fun to learn and to emulate.
They're delicious. They're, you know, visually appealing because yes. they look like these cookie candy canes,
yes.
which I don't know. The older I get, the less I like candy canes.
Right.
Like the traditional mm-hmm. little shepherd's mm-hmm. staff.
So here's a wonderful thing. Alternative.
This is. It's delicious. It goes great with coffee.
Yes. Yes.
You can't go wrong with this
Now, the
cookie.
Thing that I did not do with this that my mother-in-law usually does is she will crush up candy canes and add a little bit of granulated sugar and then press those onto the cookies to bake.
Yeah, that'd be too much peppermint for me.
So
I appreciate that you didn't do it. I can right. imagine that it would add right. visually. It would look
well,
pretty.
And you can always, you know, figure out a way to add a little bit of that after mm-hmm. they're out. But it's easier to add it on than it is to take it off.
Right. Correct. And those, that reminds me of those chocolate cookies I've seen that have a chocolate, it's like a chocolate cookie and then they do a chocolate frosting, but then they sprinkle
yeah.
broken up candy cane on the top of it. So it's like a chocolate peppermint
yeah.
cookie.
Yeah.
Like think chocolate peppermint mocha.
Yes.
Yeah. In a cookie.
Mm-hmm.
So those would
and
be
it's,
amazing.
You know, and something like that, you can always just add a little bit of peppermint extract just to the frosting.
Yes.
So that the cookie itself, you could.
Is straight up chocolate.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if people don't want the peppermint flavor, they can just have the cookie. Right. Or you make two different frostings and say, mm-hmm. okay, this one. And then you sprinkle a little bit of the candy cane on the
so
one that has the peppermint
the
in it. So you know yeah. which one's the difference is.
I think we could talk about cookies all day.
I think we could.
But we probably should close the kitchen now before we take over the yeah. whole segment. I mean, I know that James is still
James
chewing.
Is
so we
he's
need
still
to stretch.
Eating the cookie.
So, you know, the cookies that we're talking about are...
This is why I don't eat on the air. Oh, that was so good. That was a really good cookie, Beth.
Thank
that
you.
Was really good.
Mm-hmm.
That was really good segment. Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank
that was
you.
A lot of fun. We're looking forward to another year of the kitchen being open. Next year, we'll be listening for that. Great year already, you guys. So that was
Thank
a really
you.
Fun time. Thank you so much for that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with some entertainment news on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and Beth and James here, and we're going to get into a little bit of entertainment news. A big fan of this lady we're going to talk about, Edie Falco. She starred in The Sopranos
oh, yeah.
for many years, won a bunch of Emmys doing that,
mm-hmm.
Won a bunch of Emmys playing Nurse Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
Just an incredible actress. I have a hard time putting like 10 actors ahead of her or 10 actors, you know, and she's just one of those top actors to
mm-hmm.
me. I don't know if she's a household name necessarily, but I do think that her skill level should be that. She's also a very hardworking person. She is a dedicated mom and wife and puts so much of her life and time into that. And of course, trying to be work a Hollywood schedule along with that is a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got a lot of spinning plates, a lot
right.
of different things going on. So I want everybody to keep that in mind with this next story here, because she forgot she was in Avatar, basically. Edie Falco was recently on The View being interviewed, and she admitted to the show's panel that she filmed her role in James Cameron's long gestating sequel so long ago she assumed it had already hit theaters.
Oh, my goodness.
Quote, I saw the first one when it was out. That's going back some time, Falco said. This second Avatar, the one that's coming out, I shot, I think, 4 years ago, and then I've been busy. I'm doing stuff, and then somebody mentioned Avatar, and I thought, oh, I guess it came out and it didn't do very well because I didn't hear anything. She continued, so I thought it happens. And then somebody recently said, oh, Avatar's coming out. And Falco said, and she responded, oh, it hasn't come out yet? And she immediately like kind of caught herself as she was talking and like, mm-hmm. oh, my God, I'm never going to work again, she said, because she said all this and everything. Yes, you will.
Yes.
Yeah, yes, you will always work. Mm-hmm. As long as you want to work, Edie, you will definitely work. It's one of the things I like about her is she really doesn't have this kind of like, I'm going to carry myself a certain way
right.
or anything. She just what you see is what you get. You know?
Very down to earth.
Yeah. John Mayer has been being talked about a bit lately and celebrated a bit, mostly because of his guitar playing. He's been mm-hmm. doing a couple of things recently that he has shown up at that have been interesting. And there was a clip that was going viral of, I want to say, B.B. King being blown away by John Mayer playing guitar. It kind of stands out a little bit there.
Yeah.
I think most people understand that there's a couple of things known about him. I think one of the main things is his singer, songwriter, and certainly his dating profile has been something that has been profiled quite a bit. Well, John Mayer has put to rest the theory that Your Body is a Wonderland is about one of his former celebrity girlfriends. In a recent conversation on the Call Her on a podcast, the singer and songwriter talked about his 2002 hit single, which won him a Grammy. Quote, "That was about my first girlfriend," the 45-year-old Mayer said to the tune. "That was about feeling the feeling, which I think was already sort of nostalgic. I was 21 when I wrote the song, and I was nostalgic about being 16. There had been speculation that it was about actress Jennifer Love Hewitt, whom Mayer dated for a while. Then it was about this artist or Taylor Swift or mm-hmm. whoever. And he says, quote, "No, that's one of those things where people just sort of form that idea. It gets reinforced over the years. No, no, no. I had never met a celebrity when I wrote that song." Okay. He also said he doesn't date much anymore. I look at it like this. Dating is no longer a codified activity for me. He said it's not patterned anymore. And since giving up drinking 6 years ago, Mayer said he no longer has the liquid courage when it comes to relationships. So kind of working through that, I imagine.
Aww.
But this is I know the song, but I'm not a John Mayer guy or anything mm-hmm. like that. I almost mispronounced his name, for God's sake. But I do know that song, there was a lot of talk about that song for many years and everything. And there's some people that actually were disappointed that it wasn't about like an artist or whatever.
Really?
I find that kind of silly. Like, of all the things to kind of be bent out of shape about, like, that seems like a very pretty silly one.
I think it's kind of sweet that it's about the wonderment of the opposite sex's body when you've never experienced that type of a connection before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We love differently at different stages in our life. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of, as an artist, you kind of doing that. You mm-hmm. know, what love is to you at 16 is very different at 19.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
It kind of expresses that a little bit. I don't know if he expresses that in the song, but he kind of is expressing that as an artist, that mm-hmm. he does that, that he did mm-hmm. that. And I thought that was interesting. Another interesting topic that is going on right now, and I don't even think, even if we talked about this for the next half an hour, we would have enough time. But I did want to touch on it, and I wouldn't mind bringing it up again in on Thursday's show. We'll see. Nepotism is defined by Merriam-Webster Dictionary as favoritism based on kinship. More often than not, this favoritism comes to play among family members. In mm-hmm. the job market, especially ambitious young people, more often than not get their first big break in a desired field thanks to a family connection in the industry. However, when it's looked in at the entertainment game, nepotism tends to be something that is frowned on.
Right.
Now, not frowned on by the people that are receiving it necessarily, but the people that are auditioning. And let's mm-hmm. just take actors, for example. I'm auditioning for a role, and, you know, so-and-so is auditioning for it as well, and he happens to have the last name of a Coppola or Spielberg or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. And my concern immediately is, oh, he's got a leg up on me.
Right.
This is something that has existed since the dawn of existence,
right.
you know, nepotism, and it's always been a concern. It has gotten because it feels like we have too much time on our hands or something, and we just need things to, like, get bent out of shape about. Like, this has existed forever, but all of a sudden people now right. are starting to get bent out of shape about nepotism and all this and everything. Like, why did you not care about this when it's been going on for the past 5,000 years, but now all of a sudden you care about mm-hmm. it?
It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Right.
I will say it hasn't been a form. I've used the stories a couple of times. Two of my favorite Hollywood stories. Nicolas Cage. Nicolas's last name is not Cage. It's Coppola.
Yep.
He's a Coppola. I mean, At 45, if you told me, if my last name's Coppola, like that's the first thing on my resume. That's like it. I'm not even putting anything else. I'm not Coppola. Give me my job. Give me, you know. I'm joking, but he never did that. He never used that. He got his everything. He got his start everywhere he got in the beginning. There was all on his own merits and his own skill level. Mm-hmm. Colin Hanks, Tom Hanks' son. He gets this opening gig, and he's in the movie Orange County. And the director looks over and sees Tom Hanks is on the set, and like, what is Tom Hanks doing here? Nobody invited Tom. Colin had you get to bring a friend to filming and stuff. He brought his dad. Nobody knew that Colin Hanks was Tom Hanks's kid. I admire that. I think that that's noble and interesting. I have no issue whatsoever with anybody who has ever gotten a break because of their last name or their bloodline. None.
Right.
Zero. For me, this is just my opinion, my approach. If I want to get that part, I got to be better. Mm-hmm. I got to be better, I got to do better, and I got to win it from them so that even though when they're related to the director's kid I'm going up against, and they still can't deny me the role. Mm-hmm. That's my approach. That's the way I look at these things. I don't speak for others. I don't know how everybody else feels about that one, but to me, it seems like such a ridiculous argument. Like, I get that it can be an issue for things. And I think it's a much better conversation to have on a corporate level, on a business level as far as jobs and your everyday jobs go and everything. Having this with celebrities is one of the silliest things to get bent out of shape about I've ever heard of.
Mm. Well, and just because it gets their foot in the door doesn't mean that they're going to be able to stay there. I mean, you still have to have the talent to be able to continue working.
Yeah.
I got 20 examples I could bring up right at the top of my head of people who got a break and they're gone. Mm-hmm. You know, who had a famous parent or somebody like that. Yeah.
Yeah, because critics are not going to care.
Nope.
No, they are going to tear them apart, no matter who their parent is.
And sometimes they'll be even more critical because they expect you to be better because of your lineage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I've told the story before about getting the break on the Conan show. Mm-hmm. I only got that break because I happened to be friends with one of the writers on that set. Mm-hmm. And I happened to got invited. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to be there. I didn't have I got that internship. I guarantee there were probably about 20, 30 people at least that had applied for that job, and I got it just because I made them laugh.
Right.
I could easily be, I wouldn't have a, I could see that is more of an issue almost than you know, nepotism or something mm-hmm. like that.
Well, some of it is luck.
It just is. It just is.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, I'm always ready for that break. And I've spent probably since I was 10 years old like that. And that's kind of how you have to approach some of these things. You
gotta
know,
be in the right place at the right time.
Exactly.
Well, you got to be ready for it. And I feel like there's way too much of this in existence of, I didn't get the life that I was supposed to get. Mm. Or things didn't go the way that this is how I had it all planned out from high school. I'm supposed to have this, this, and this, and none of these things happen. It's everybody else's fault but mine. It's the immigrants taking our jobs. It's the this, it's the that. It's in no personal responsibility, no accountability whatsoever. Just it's everybody's fault but mine. Like, I'm sorry that we need to start shaming that more, if you ask me.
No, you got to take responsibility for your decisions, your choices, your actions. That's what's going to direct your life, not all these outside forces.
Well, every decision we make, everything that we do has a consequence. Mm-hmm. So we're victims of our own choice is what we are. We're not just victims. So it can't be everybody else's fault.
Nope.
When we come back, we have some foods that we lost in 2022.
Aww.
And we have to talk about those foods. We have to say goodbye to them one more time. Mm. When we come back, we'll do that after Melissa's news. We'll be back with more in just a few right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright.
Still in that Christmas spirit around here. Just at least for a couple more days. Got into interesting couple of rabbit holes over the past year, and some of them involved food, certainly. And one of them was really taking me to the path of, oh, I can't wait, this sounds so good. And then I find out it's gone.
Aww.
And it's not around anymore, and I didn't even know.
Hmm.
2022 marked a return to the basics for many of America's largest food companies that left some fan favorites in the garbage heap of history.
No.
We have here culinary creations that left us in 2022.
Okay.
A bit of a memoriam of these
in
meals
memoriam.
That are gone, no longer with us. Like the Burger King's Cha-King. The Burger King
Cha-King.
This was a fried chicken sandwich dubbed the Cha-King. Lasted about a year. Launched in 2021.
Mm. Wow.
Okay.
Can't say I'm going to miss it.
No, I didn't think I ever had one of those.
Nope.
No. And I don't see what's the I mean, it's big. Other than that, I don't see what's the difference about that and the regular chicken they have. Chili's original chicken tenders went away.
Mm. Chicken. No more chicken tenders?
Yeah.
Or Chili's.
Mm, yeah. Aww. Yeah, really. Yeah. I don't know the last time I saw one, really, at Chili's. Yeah. Mm. I hadn't thought about that.
I think there's one in Point.
Mm.
There might be.
The unique temper battered tenders had been a staple on the chain menu since the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
But don't fret, Chili still offers crispy chicken crispers that are similar to the original.
Okay.
Okay.
This next one is it's a little hard to talk about, you guys.
No.
The Choco Taco. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't
do it. Dessert will never be the same.
Can't do it. Got to keep moving. Got to move on.
Never be the same.
The beloved ice cream in a taco-shaped cone was discontinued in July after nearly four decades on sale. Klondike explained that the company has experienced an unexpected spike in demand across our portfolio and that it had to make some very tough decisions to ensure availability of our full portfolio nationwide. This one was more about, it wasn't the numbers were horrible. It was, we got to cut somewhere.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so many, not so many, every single company had to do this.
Yeah.
I mean, we were joking in the early days of the pandemic, the only companies that were still open were hand sanitizer companies. And like that kind of, even they had to make cuts.
Yeah.
Even they had to cut off product. If that don't tell you that everybody's been hurting,
mm-hmm.
I mean.
Yeah. And the Choco Taco is very, very similar to the drumstick.
Very similar,
just gonna
yes.
say.
It is. It's just not shaped the same.
No, it's not.
I like the shape. I like,
it's easier to handle.
You're
it doesn't
so
drip down that bottom point.
It's so correct about that. I every single person that got bent out of shape when this happened, I think this is probably the biggest one on this list.
Yeah.
Okay.
And certainly it happened relatively recently over the summer and everything. Mm-hmm. The people that were so bent out of shape about this, and all I could think of is, one, where were you when they were selling them? Like,
right.
why weren't you buying them?
Mm-hmm.
And two, have a drumstick.
Yeah.
It'll be okay.
You actually get more ice cream.
You kind of do. That's a good point. Yeah, and it's a little bit like the drumstick's the perfect ice. It's the perfect way to transport ice cream. It just stays right there and
mm-hmm.
everything. The taco, it's falling out all over the place.
Mm-hmm. You end up with melted ice cream in the package.
Yes. I love the Choco Taco, but Bliss is correct on this one. I hadn't heard of this one. Honest Tea. Honest Tea. Like,
oh,
literally,
yeah.
Honest Tea with a tea.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that in convenience stores.
Yeah, it's an iced tea brand.
Yeah.
After about 25 years on shelves, Honest Tea's parent company, Coca-Cola, announced it was eliminating the iced tea from its product lineup. Coca-Cola took a 40% stake in Honest in 2008, and Coke acquired the brand in 2011. The move will free up investment resources and supply chain capacity to better consumer needs.
Hmm.
And McDonald's McRib.
It's gone again?
Yeah, apparently.
They said this was going to be the last year.
Yep. We hope you enjoyed McRib while it lasted. McDonald's teased in a statement upon its October rearrival that this could be the last chance to taste it.
Could be.
Because
could be.
The chain confirmed that it won't be sold nationally for a while following this promotion.
Like a year.
Yeah.
McDonald's first added the McRib to menus around Kansas City in 1981. The chain pulled it from its menu 4 years later, but has become a cult favorite among McDonald's loyalists.
And I really don't get it. Like, my boyfriend and I had this argument. In fact, I almost got kicked out of the house. But I tried one, and I'm... I, I, I mean, and I've had them in the past, but you know, it's like people are so crazy about these. I'm gonna give it a go. Why not? I'm sorry, I'm not impressed.
I've never had one.
You didn't.
I love
you're
ribs,
not missing it.
But I never had one.
It's
not
a rib. This is what would be what got you kicked out.
I don't know Aaron that well, but I do love the idea of Aaron. Like, he doesn't yep. seem like that guy.
No,
so I
he
love
doesn't.
That conversation. That had to have been hilarious. Uh-huh. I kind of was tempted to try one when this all came about this mm-hmm. last time. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, I'll just wait. I know that they're saying they're never coming back. I mean, there are not many things in this world I would put money on. I would put money on this one. I would put money easily that the McRib will be back.
It's
when
not,
it'll be back, I don't know, but it'll be back.
Yeah, it's not the Uncle Ben of fast food. No.
There's no way that McDonald's, like, first, well, I will say this. I will give them this. If there was ever a company that could get rid of one of its more popular products and survive and mm-hmm. be fine and still mm-hmm. finish in the red and all that, I mean, the black and everything, mm-hmm. it's McDonald's.
Right.
I mean, well, they could easily afford to do this.
Because that's a seasonal thing. Right.
Yeah.
It's not a regular menu item.
I don't understand the point of... I mean, I do. Trust me, I understand marketing and everything. Mm-hmm. But I don't understand the point, if you're McDonald's, of threatening people that you might not bring it back.
No.
You were going to sell like crazy. These things were going to sell like crazy
right.
anyway.
The problem is, when they brought this out in the 80s, they only made so much. Nah. They've actually finally run out of this product
yes,
that
yes.
they've stockpiled for all these years.
Yes.
And they're looking at the end of it. And the up cost of, you know, getting this going again outweighs the benefits.
They a lot of people probably think that this product, McRib, would come from a pig, would come from pork.
Right.
You know, or something like that. But you don't understand McDonald's food. have you ever seen a chicken that has nuggets on it? Have you ever? I mean, no.
Right.
I don't think there's a whole ton of rib in that sandwich for you there. I don't know. But finally on the list was Wendy's Vanilla Frosty.
Aww.
The Vanilla Frosty isn't gone for good, but it did disappear this year, so Wendy's could change up the flavors of the beloved Frosty treat. It's currently selling a peppermint Frosty in its place, which replaced the strawberry flavor
Aww.
That it sold over the summer.
Yeah.
Wendy's didn't have an exact date when vanilla will return, but it did tease that more Frosty flavors might be added to the menu in 2023.
Hmm. Yeah, because they can't get rid of it entirely.
Yeah.
And definitely not the chocolate.
That's a staple. That
yeah.
I don't think they'll ever get rid of the chocolate. But the vanilla was, I can remember when it came out, that was shocking, that it mm-hmm. was something more than just the chocolate. And it was just as good as the chocolate. And then the summer, if you've never had the strawberry one,
yeah, it's
that
like
was a
the
treat.
Thickest milkshake you've
yes,
ever had.
Yes. And now I want to find a Wendy's just to try the peppermint one. That one sounds delicious to me.
Mm-hmm.
I want your taste buds. You are such an adventurous person with this stuff. I really could learn some from you on that. That's some good stuff right there.
According to my parents from the time I was little.
Anything to add to this one, you guys?
That's gone away?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I know that I really was asking that because I kind of thought that...
If we're going to talk about things that go
yep.
away
yeah.
and should
Here
not
go
away,
yep.
Taco Bell and the 7-layer burrito.
Yep.
Like, I will forever be salty about this. Like, more than salty. Peppered. I will be, like about this forever. There's just no words for my disgust at Taco Bell and taking away the 7-layer burrito. It's a travesty.
I will wholeheartedly admit
yep.
to the audience that is a big part of why I brought this
yeah,
conversation
I was gonna say, you
up.
Set her up.
Just for that punchline. I knew that was
beautifully.
Going.
And yet he didn't warn me.
Nope. We'll take a break here. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. Hoping you're having a great day out there. Going to get to some good stories of the day. Before we do, wanted to give you our abbreviated schedule for this week because we're only here a couple days.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So a little bit later, of course, coming up here on Morning Magazine in just a few minutes, we will kick off our first segment with our friends from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Looking forward to that. And then in part two, we'll have the Family Center with us. Always a good time
yeah,
there.
Excellent.
On Wednesday, Katrina Hintner going to be sitting in on the show.
Yay.
Whoop, whoop. It's going to be a fun time. We always enjoy Katrina joining us, and we'll talk a little family natural foods and plenty of other things with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wednesday after that, we'll kick off Morning Magazine, Land Alliance. Plymouth Wood County Chairman will be in with us.
Okay. Good.
And in part two, we'll catch up with our friends from the ODC.
Excellent.
On Thursday, it's Melissa, it's Seth, right here in studio to do our final show of 2022. It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah. One which hands which?
One of the things we're going to do is go over a year in review. And by that, I mean, we're going to bring that calendar down, and we're just going to leaf through that calendar and go through that. That's how we're actually going to kick off the show on Thursday.
Fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it. And a little bit later on Morning Magazine, we'll have our friends from the ADRC on. Amy Vetter will be with us, resource specialist. Mm-hmm. And in part two, Jackie Carantini, human development and relationships educator with UW Extension.
Nice. Awesome.
All these things going on. It's so much fun. We're so excited about all of this stuff. It's going to be a fun week. And Friday, no shows. We are closed. We have alternative programming from our company, Civic Media, of course.
Yes.
So be on the lookout for that. Good stuff, though.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get into our sports schedule a little bit later. Did want to touch on this good story of the day. Came across this one, and it takes us to Milwaukee.
Okay.
The season of giving was in full swing Christmas Eve. New Hope Youth and Family Services brought kids joy by handing out presents at a group home after earlier in the week, founders said burglars broke in their building and stole coats, televisions, and gifts meant for kids.
Oh, no.
More than 9,000 was raised to help deliver a Merry Christmas for the children whose gifts were taken.
Wow.
Quote, there's coats for everybody, socks, underwear, hats, gloves, hoodies, jogging pants, gift cards, games, all kinds of stuff, said Rita Lee, the center founder. Lee said Target, United Way, the BMO Harris Bank helped with last minute donations. Some donations came from as far away as Massachusetts.
Wow.
Just a cool story. You can read more about this going to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. But a big, big shout out to all those companies, to that community, to everybody coming together to make sure.
To step up.
Those kids didn't even know anything happened.
Right.
You know, didn't know anything went wrong or anything like that.
And good.
Man, that's cool. That's a blessing right there. That's a gift in itself. There is a wonderful site called positivenews.com. It's positive.news.com. Go there and check out a lot of these kind of stories.
Excellent.
And it's where you can find out maybe a little bit more added detail to some of the things that I'm kind of giving you almost a synopsis of. Looking at one of the things that this website does that I think is really cool is they have like what went right this week.
Oh,
that's good.
I love it. It's
a fun way of kind of like, especially combating the negativity. Because there is, we talk about it all the time. There's good stories every day. There's good stories every hour. Just got to look for them sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
A biodiversity deal was hailed a milestone for nature. A landmark deal aimed at turning the tide on the extinction crisis has been agreed at a CPAC 15 in Montreal, Canada.
Oh, good.
196 nations pledged to protect 30% of the planet for nature by the close of the decade. The 30 by 30 pledge has been hailed as the biodiversity equivalent of the 2015 Paris Agreement on Climate Change.
Okay. How scary is it we're heading towards 30?
Yeah. Almost 150 new species have been added to Earth's tree of life by researchers at the Central Academy of Sciences. We talk about losing animals all the time. I don't think we put enough focus on this. We're discovering and finding new ones all the time.
Hey.
The list includes 28 new geckos and a species found in the New Caledonian forest and the Minnesota mountain onion, which is believed to be confined to just two peaks in California's Klamath Mountains.
California, but it's the Minnesota onion.
That's
hilarious.
The end could be nigh for Forever Chemicals. Industrial giant 3M, the company behind household staples such as Scotch tape and Post-it notes, and has pledged to stop making PFAS, the forever chemicals linked to deadly diseases.
Good.
PFAS, you know, have been a big issue, certainly even here in our state and locally here in central Wisconsin have been a big one. So, I mean, that is, again, one of those articles I encourage people to look into deeper. Not that I'm not saying the 3M isn't doing what they're saying they are, but to make sure that they're doing what they're saying they're doing.
Right.
You know, and it's important. It's important that you do this homework. You don't need me preaching it to you. You need you reading it and finding it out. It is a big move doing what they're doing.
Well, it's big for a company to actually step up and say they're going to do something without somebody forcing them to,
right,
as happened in another part of our state here not that long ago.
Mm-hmm. Melissa and I know Laura, we're all big tree fans. I know Beth, I think you're a pretty big fan of trees. Love trees around here.
Mm-hmm.
A new study has underlined the critical role of trees in combating climate change with the revelation that forests in the UK lock up double the carbon than previously thought.
Wow.
Trees prove to be more valuable than we even thought. An international team, including researchers from Gant University and the University College of London, used laser scanning to map trees and found they're actually giving off more than we ever thought they were. The previous data was incorrect. They're actually kicking out so much more than we ever even realized.
Mm.
And
trees are kind of important.
They are very important.
Nature... Instead of complaining and taking it out on us, nature has combated us taking them down by doing more. Because that's how awesome nature is. Mm-hmm. That's how awesome trees are. Let's do right by them.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you so much, you guys. What a wonderful show. A great time to hang out with you guys. We're looking forward to starting a new year together next week. Thank you both for a great day. Great show.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We'll have more coming up here. Morning Magazine right around the corner. Mornings at WFHR.